Let's pray together. Father God in heaven, as we come before you this day, we ask that your presence would be strong and mighty in this place. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Lord, that the words that are used here today, Lord, that they would be your words, not mine. And the words that we hear, Lord, let them speak to our hearts in our own unique ways. Let us hear truth, Father. And if anything is not true, Lord, let it just fall away. If anything is not accurate, Lord, let it fall away. But Lord, if anything, if the word is true and it's from you, which is what we believe, Lord, let it stick. Let it be a part of our lives forevermore, Lord, that we may be strong in you and we may be a blessing one to another. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, you may have to forgive me. For the last month, about my voice has been not there so much. I could have prepared this ahead of time, but of course I didn't. So if I sound like I'm in junior high at times, forgive me. It might squeak. It may do funny things. Pastor Andy said, if my voice goes away, that means that I'm done. God is shutting me up, and that's okay. I do get frustrated. I'm going to share this. I do get frustrated sometimes when my voice goes away because I love to sing. I love to worship, and I love to sing at a certain register of voice. I'd call it a high tenor, a low soprano. I don't like to have to be like today. I'm down in here singing. But you know what? I'm singing. My voice, whatever happens to my body, whatever the enemy means, whatever all that is, I'm not going to stop singing. If I have to just move my lips, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen? Because I'm not going to let the enemy win. I'm not going to let my body win. I'm going to praise the Lord. That's all there is to it, because I got a lot to praise Him for. Today's sermon, I called it, It's Not Over. In further terms, I thought of it as, it's not over until He says it's over. And we're referring to Jesus. But it has a lot to do with the name of Jesus, by which we all, if we know Him as our Lord and Savior, we are all called by that name, the name of Christ. If you would, I want to ask you to do two things for me today. I'm not very flashy. You won't see a lot on the screen other than verses. In fact, you shouldn't see anything besides verses unless the guy's in the sound booth are making funny pictures behind me, okay? But we're going to do verses, and I want you to hear them. So what I want to ask you to do is, if your phone is your Bible, use it like that. Don't use it for anything else, okay? Please don't text, answer text, emails, look up who's who on the Hollywood boardwalk. You think I don't know this happens? Really? We know. We all know. But please don't do that. I want you to hear the Word of God. It's not about hearing me. It's about hearing Him. So let's respect where we're at and what we're doing so that we can hear what God has to say. If you would, turn to the book of John, chapter 14. I'll do that as well. I'm going to read from the New King James. We'll see if the video matches what I have to read, but follow along with me. We're going to read John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, being Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas, being Thomas, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you would, turn over to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, which we looked at not so many weeks ago. Right here is Pastor Andy's been teaching on the book of Acts. This was Peter talking to the Sanhedrin, and he was just telling them this very thing. Nor is there salvation in any other name. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is clear. Jesus is the key. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Your good enough isn't good enough. Amen? Neither is mine. And no matter all the things that you do and all the works that you do and all the church services that you attend, that's not going to cut it. It's Jesus. Now, all those things are good. Keep coming. I encourage you, keep coming to church. It's good for you, and we need the fellowship of others. I know I need it. I encourage you, do good works. Help out. Help people. Do those things. But don't count on that as your way of salvation. Your way of salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and living for Him. So what's in a name? I'm going to talk, and every once in a while I'll clear my throat. It's just kind of, excuse me. What's in a name, though? You know, I've looked at my name quite a bit. I take interest in some of those type of things. I want to know what things mean. I like to get into where it's deep. I don't like to know shallow things. That doesn't interest me too much. I want to get into where it's deep. So I've taken an interest. I don't do a lot, but I have taken some interest in finding out, well, where does my name come from? Where does the Rawlings name come from, and what does it mean? Who started it? Now, you can't know everything because you weren't there, but we do rely on certain things, certain ancestry type stuff, certain genealogical things that if you look into it, you'll find a little bit about where your name probably comes from. The Rawlings name. In my mind, I've always been taught that it's a strong name, that it has meaning. That's what's been passed down to me from people in my recent past. So I look it up. I find out, first of all, that the Rawlings name, before we came over to this country, and we were one of the early people that came to this country, by the way. I found out we came over in the 1650s, which was pretty early, and settled in a part of Maryland called Anne Arundel County, which is now Annapolis, Maryland. And we were very early comers to America. But even before that, my legacy, my heritage, lies in a part of England that is known for being highly independent. Cornwall in England. It's a county in England, far in the southwest tip of England, known for its fierce independence, known for its very strong and hardy people, known to withstand the enemy, known to withstand the weather, known to withstand things. If you want to put it in a nutshell, we're the people that when the wind blows, we put our face into it instead of turning our back to it and say, come on. Okay? I like to think that that's a part of who I am somehow. Whether it is or not, that might just be me thinking. But, as my wife Sherry will tell you, that is a strong part of what she knows of and I know of in our recent ancestors, my father, ones before him, that one of the things about a Rawlings, at least our branch, is we don't quit. You will lose. We don't quit. We'll take our last breath, not quitting. Because we're made to overcome. I take a lot of stock in that. Now, sure, that can be sheer hard-headedness, sheer determination, and I'm sure a lot of that is there. You know? But in that name, I see resilience. As Sherry knows, one time, I don't know where it's at right now, and I probably won't get it exactly right, although I should have it ingrained in my mind. I made up a thing called the Rawlings Creed. Wow, this guy's psycho. Yeah, I know. No. But it was things like this, just what I mentioned to you. Never, ever give up. Suck it up. Sherry's like, You can imagine the life this poor girl has to lead sometimes. Look at her. When things look hard, try harder. When things are impossible, they're not. Be ready for all things at all times. Wow. Be ready for all things at all times. And then on top of that, that's not quite enough. Make it look easy. Yeah. And don't do anything to diminish the value of the family name. Hold it high. That's just my earthly name and just my life. There is a far greater name by which I'm called. I'm Jeff of Christ. And I think that most of those things that I just mentioned in that Rawlings Creed apply to my walk with the Lord. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Never quit. I am for you, not against you. I am with you, says the Lord. It just because it's impossible doesn't mean it is. It just looks that way. And don't do anything to diminish the family name. But we often do, don't we? We often do. We often bring a sadness to God's heart by our own failings. I love that our Father loved us while we were yet sinners. Our Father loves us while we're yet sinners. He knows how He made us. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows that we needed a Savior. He knows that we need Him. And He's prepared ahead of time for that situation, that we have a way of redemption. You know, there's a lot of things in a name. And each person here is going to view their name in a different light. I hope you have a strong name. I hope you feel that it's a strong name. If you don't feel that you have a strong name, then I want to encourage you. You be the change. You be the one to break that curse over that name. The curse over generations before you. And from this point forward, your name is a strong name. Your name is a godly name. Your name will stand high amongst names because you've chosen to take that stand. Because when we believe in Jesus Christ, we take a stand. We say, I belong to you. And then we stand. Amen. Amen, Emily. I love your spirit, young lady. I do. It brings me joy every time I come to church every Sunday and hear you, because I know you hear God. And I want you to hear that for yourself. You hear God. You know, we all have names according to our attributes as well. Names that God has given us. Our attributes, the gifts that he has placed within us. We have names. You know, I know some of you enough about you to know that, you know, here's what I see. You know, I see Pastor Andy, the teacher. I see Rob, the friendly. I see Lori, the tender. I see Cam, the deep diver, the studier. I see Emily, the pure. I see Mike, the evangelist. I see many of you and see those gifts, and I love to watch them grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Because doesn't God want us to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow closer to him, closer to others, and so that we can be a life-changing part of this world? God wants to use every one of us. And I hope that over the course of more time, I get to know attributes of all of you that God has put in you, because I see a tremendous gifting, an array of giftings in this church. And I know that God's going to do some fantastic things that we haven't even thought about yet. Because that's God. Amen? Well, what about that name? Do you take your name and use the attribute of it? Sometimes the world says, that attribute's no good. You're too much that way. You got too much of that. Or you need to change that. What does God say? What does God say about you? He says, you're my child. I created you. You are my child. I created you. And what I created is not a mistake. Okay? So if you're living a life, and you feel like that somehow you're a mistake, or that you've made too many mistakes, that is untrue. That is the way of people, and that is the way of the enemy, to lie to you, to slow you down. And the best thing you can do with that is say this: I'm not slowing down. If you know me very well, you'll know that I'm the type of person that if you say, don't do that, that means how fast can I go? Or if someone says, you can't do that, that means watch me. Or if you choose to come against what I believe in, then you have just chosen the wrath of my determination, go for it. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, I know the name that I'm called by, and I know who is with me, and I know who is going to walk with me and lead me through it, and I know who's going to give me wisdom, and I know who has said, Jeff, this is what I've made you for, and I know I'm fallible, so I'm open to correction from the one who loves me. And sometimes I need that. I'm not perfect in any way, but that's okay, neither are you, you know. How many of you think you're perfect? Come on, somebody. Okay. Well, you're not. Not even close. And the older you get, the further away you realize you are. We need that name. What can we do in that name? We can rely on that name, but that name can do anything. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus does it all. It's not to be used as some secret code. It's been to be used as an identifier. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but Lord, in your name, it's going to happen. Lord, in your name, I'm going to step forward. Even when I'm scared. Even when I don't see what to step forward onto, I'm going to step forward because in your name, you are going to take care of me. If you have called me, you have equipped me. If you have equipped me, you have made a place and a preparation for me. If you've made that preparation, then it's up to me to walk into what you have prepared and be obedient. I have to submit my will and be obedient. Because nothing is over until he says it's over. Nothing in your life is over until he says it's over. Amen? But here's the good part. This has all been good part, but here's a good part. Every part of who we are, good and bad, is under the blood of Jesus. That means each piece of everything that has been a part of our life, past hurts, unforgiveness, put it under the blood of Jesus. Let him bring the restoration. Because we need restoration, don't we? You ever need restoration? You ever notice that these bodies can be a real pain? Literally. They can be a challenge. We have to keep in mind these bodies aren't who we are. They help us to recognize each other. This is where we function on this earth. This is our earth suit, okay? This is our earth suit, but it's not who we are. It's where we live. That's where we live our physical being in. Our spirit lives within this physical shell. Because if any one of you have ever been around, when someone has passed, what's left after they pass? Nothing but a shell. There's no life within it. That life's gone, isn't it? Our spirit's gone at that point. Boy, I've got so much here, and I've went so far off track. I guess it's, no, not really, I haven't, but yeah. I could go on. You guys are good for 3 hours, right? Okay, I got one. And everybody says, Lori, you can stay if you like. Huh? Okay, cool. Satan says, things in our life are irreversible, but by his name, they are not. By his name, things are not irreversible. Our identity is in Christ, and we are named by his name, Christ, the Redeemer, the Restorer, the Healer, the Provider, the Chain Breaker, the Waymaker, the Conqueror, the Mighty Warrior, Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Holy One, the All-Knowing, the All-Seeing, the All-Present, the Creator of all things. This is the name we fall under. If we truly believe that we are under the name of Christ, and we hear the things that the few things that I just read off there, and there's so many more, do we really feel like we're going to lose in this life? Should we? So if we feel like we're losing, where do you think that's coming from? Anybody got an answer? Yeah. The enemy of our soul and our own carnal thinking. You know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy when it comes to our thinking, aren't we? We can be. But I want you to remember the name that you're called under, Christ. Nothing can come against me that I can't withstand. Because what I have to do is stand with Him. He does the work. I do the obedience. It's not that I don't have to do anything. I have to be obedient and submit to Him. That's my job. I know so little. I'm talking to you on a personal level now. I know so little, but I know who knows so much. And I know that things aren't over. Things aren't over for any of us. When we take our last breath, guess what? Still not over. It's just over here. We get to go on because He's prepared a place for us. He has prepared a glorious place for us. And you know what? I don't know what that consists of. I don't know a whole lot about heaven other than it's good. It's good. And it's with Christ. And that's all that any of us really need to know. A lot of times I love it that Christ keeps us on a need-to-know basis. And just tells me what I need to know. If the Lord would open our eyes right at this moment and we saw the battle going on in this room for our souls, we would be frightened to almost probably near death to see what's going on right now, right here, for each one of our souls. How demonic is lying to some people. How things are, warfare is going on because someone is so close to quitting that it's getting to a scary edge of things. If we could see what's in the heavenlies, it would probably frighten us tremendously. But even that, Christ doesn't open our eyes fully to that. He knows. And He's the only one that has to know that. Do you love Jesus? That was shallow. Come on. Do you love Jesus? Are you called under His name? He always works on our behalf. What's our job? Trust Him. Do you ever have trouble trusting? You ever have trouble trusting? Yeah? I do. I've been through a lot of things where people have said things that didn't happen, aren't going to happen, will never happen. There was no intent for them to happen. I have to work on that. That's a part of my life. I love to trust people. I really do. But I'm smart enough to know to watch a little. But I can trust God fully. Isn't that great? It is to me anyway. Trust Him, submit to Him, and obey Him. If we can do that, if we can do, it sounds so simple. Oh, Pastor Jeff says all I got to do is trust him and submit to him and obey him. Yeah, it sounds easy. It is not. Our carnal self doesn't like to submit. Our carnal self doesn't like to obey. And we've been hurt too much to trust. Who has to fix that? Anybody have an idea who has to fix that? Who is it? Us and Jesus. By his name we are called. How do we trust? Forgiveness is a step, Lori. We have to be open. We have to let ourselves be open to sometimes being hurt again so that we can exercise our faith. God doesn't say anything will be easy. It'll be good. Amen. Life's not easy. Is life easy? And the older people shout, no. No, life's not easy. But it's good. And God has given us this opportunity right now to trust him. Something that you don't know, I've got to watch my time because I've been told to. Not like he's not doing the Pastor Joe thing. We're sitting in the front row going like this. You know, but I get it. Something that you might not know about Sherry and I that I want to share because you're my family and I do trust you with lots of things. Sherry's scared right now because she thinks I'm going to do something. Never. For a lot of years, Sherry and I did missions work. We would train and take teams and go do missions in different places around the country and around different parts, Mexico and down in places like that. And for lots of years, even before that, went all over the country doing dramas. We would do drama skits. We'd do them out on the street. We'd just be out on the street and start doing a skit before people and gather a crowd. Now, Sherry's very quiet, as some of you know. So that doesn't seem like her character at all, and it's not. But she did. And we would do these different skits, sometimes whole sets of them. We'd be a whole service of skits to bring the light of Jesus to people. That's just one of the many things Sherry and I have done in our ministry years. And so I'd like to attempt to do a skit for you now. And it's been a long time now since I've really done one. But I'd like to give you something to illustrate the love of Christ for you. I hope that though was clear enough to see and to understand. Oh, I'm a mess, huh? But I know the depictions were the things, that stereotypical things that we typically think of, you know, like gambling, the Satan. The door over here was Satan coming up out of hell. I shook hands with him, put my arms around him, embraced him. He took me over, got me gambling a little, got me hooked in, gave me a little booze, gave me a little drugs, got me to shoot up, about killed me. I got up. I asked him for help. What'd he do? Kicked me in the head. But then I came back to Jesus. I reached out to Jesus, and what did Jesus do? Lifted me up. He lifted me up. Not only that, he restored my heart where I had said to him, he never said to me. That's our God. That's the love of the Father for us. That's how much he cares for us. And sometimes people think when they get to be a little older, you know, all that stuff's all that stuff that I never dealt with, that's in the past. And it is good to leave stuff in the past to a degree. But it's also even better that if it's never been dealt with, please bring it to God. Let him restore that part of you so that you can be that full bloom that he's created you to be. And when I'm preaching, when I'm talking to you, I'm always talking to me as well. I've got things. We all do. But being under his name is the greatest thing of all. We have been given so much. We have been given so much. The God that created everything that we can see has called us under his name. You know, we sit here on earth and we think, wow, if I could just be Warren Buffett's son, man. We got him here in town, right? Close by, anyway. That's nothing compared to the name we're called under. Would you all stand? Teresa, would you come up, please? Thank you. If you're not able to stand, I understand. If you are able to stand, then would you? I want you to understand how great God's love is for us and the fact that he never stops pursuing us. Even when we deserve to not be pursued. And if you're in this room and you have not accepted Jesus, you know what? Now's the time. God didn't bring today and this time to you for no reason. This is a divine appointment. This is a divine appointment for you because of his love and care for you. Because you're his child and he calls you by name, you are, whoever you are, of Christ. And if you have things, we all do, we should all respond quite honestly to this call. Because if we want to be fully, do you want to be fully restored? Boy, I do. Then I'm going to ask you, if you want to be restored, bring it to Christ. He's called you by his name. Come up to the altar. Love on him. Let him reach into your life. I know that there's many. And here's one thing I want to speak. Pride oftentimes keeps us from movement. Pride oftentimes keeps us from movement, from letting our hearts be touched. It's not a time for pride. It's a time for submission. It's a time for restoration. It's a time for repentance. It's a time to be healed. It's a time to be restored. It's a time to have chains broken. It's a time to give your heart in a whole nother way to God. Father God in heaven, I ask that you touch the hearts right here, right now. Lord, I ask that you would cause pride to fall away from all of us. Because it's not what someone thinks about us. It's what you think. It's what you know. Let us be humble, Lord, right now. Just where you're at, take this time, as you've done maybe before, but I want you to say, Lord, I want to be restored. Can we do that together? Lord, I want to be restored. Now, whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your heart and mind in this moment right here, that's what he's talking to you about. Now, let's do this together. Lord, I give this to you. It's yours, not mine anymore. Can we thank the Lord for his goodness? You all are an absolute blessing to me. And it's a blessing to be a part of this church, and it's not by accident for any of us. As we go out of this place, let's remember, God changed us today. He's working in our heart this day. He's called us to be a different people than when we came in. And to be ever aware of his presence with us, because he's right here. This is my friend. This is my Lord. Right here. And to remember, and I want you to remember, I want this to stick. I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now, as I speak to you, I'm praying to the Holy Spirit to cause this to stick. Remember the name by which you are called. It's the greatest name in all creation. It's the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Father, as we go, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your graciousness, for your forgiveness. We thank you that you are so much stronger than what we could ever be. We need you, Lord. Remind us that we are under your name and that your blood was shed on that cross for us. Let us never forget it. When we are in lonely places, Lord, remember that you're sitting there beside us or standing there beside us, Father. Lord, remind us that we are not alone. And when we're in different places, Lord, help us to remember, would we be proud to have you there with us? Would we be proud to be seen with you in that place? I thank you that we're never going to be the same, Lord. Help us as we go out into the mission field of the world around us, Lord, to be lights in the darkness. In your precious, precious, holy, mighty, wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Amen.